Scripture passage this morning is Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 44. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 44. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread to give them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fishes." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We live in an age that's saturated by different advice. Maybe if you remember back to that time period when we would all get those newspapers every day delivered to our houses, you'd flip through the pages of that and there'd be that advice column in the paper, and you could write in and get some advice from whoever was writing this advice column of what to do in certain situations. Well, today it's a bit easier than that to get advice on how one should live or how they should make different decisions in life. Nowadays, it's as easy as pulling out your phone and just scrolling through social media, and you really just want to get caught up on what your friends are doing that week or where they might have traveled and see some pictures from that and what's going on in their life. But more often than not, your social media pages are filled with all these ads from what we call today as influencers, who give us all this advice that maybe we don't ask for, but we receive about how we should live our life. If you want to be successful in life, this social media influencer will tell you, well, you got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning, you got to do an ice bath, and then you got to go and have a cup of coffee and go to the gym and work out for an hour, and then by 6, you should be taking your shower, having a bit of breakfast, and then you can start your day after that, and that's what's going to make you successful in life. They all have different versions of this morning routine, and if you get this morning routine just perfect, then you can be the successful one and have this huge mansion and house that you want. Or at least that's what the world tells us that we want, this big mansion, this successful life. And there's all these different voices telling us how we can do this. And it can be confusing for us because they're all saying something a bit different. They all have a different routine, a different way of bringing us this this wealth, this successfulness that we desire so much, or they tell us we desire so much, and it can be hard to tell which one is right or which one we should follow. We're pulled in different directions, said that this will make us successful as opposed to this, and it's almost like we're sheep without a shepherd. We graze over here at this, trying to get a successful life here, or maybe we're going over and following this shepherd for a little bit and getting some nourishment here, but in the end, the pasture isn't quite as green as we thought it would be, and we're not fulfilling those desires that we have in life, and it's left us empty, malnourished, not sure quite how to live. There's an important sentence that Jesus speaks in this passage that I kind of want to focus on this morning. And that's when Jesus, his disciples, are just coming back from being sent out to go and do the good things that Jesus is doing in his ministry. He gives them the power to go and heal and to drive out demons and to preach the good news that the kingdom of God has drawn near. So the disciples have went out. They've done that for a little bit. And now this is the passage where they're coming back to Jesus and telling him all of the things that they were able to do as they went out and spread the good news around Jerusalem, Judea. And understandably, after this time of being sent out to go and do those good works, to go and heal people and to drive out demons and to teach, the disciples were pretty tired. We hear in our passage that even though they're back with Jesus, they don't have any time to rest, that the people, the crowds are getting bigger and bigger around Jesus, and they don't even have an opportunity to eat because the people are constantly coming up to Jesus and bumping into him and wanting to hear what he has to preach and wanting to have healing for themselves. So Jesus, understanding this need that his disciples have for a bit of rest, says, let's go to a solitary place, just you and me, and let's get you some rest. Let's hear about this ministry, this mission that you went on and what you performed, and let's debrief a bit on that. So they go in a boat. They try to go off to a solitary place, but it says the people recognized who they were, and they followed them along the lakeshore as they're in a boat. Kind of a funny picture if you think about it. The disciples in a boat trying to cross the water to get away from the people. And then I'm sure as they're looking back at where they're coming from, they start to see people kind of meandering along the lakeshore trying to see where they're going to go. And they're already there by the time the disciples and Jesus get to where they were going. The people, the crowds are there around them. This rest that Jesus thought that he could give his disciples wasn't going to be rest, because as it says, Jesus saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. These people were lost and wandering, looking for somewhere, one to lead and guide them. Just like today, I'm sure the people who were trying to get to Jesus and to hear his message and to follow him probably had various voices about what to do and how to live in life. The Pharisees, they told people that the right way to live was to follow the law and to make sure you kept every minutia detail in the law. And that's how right living comes. That's how prosperity comes. That's how you can be successful in life, is if you follow the law. And you have the Sadducees. Their philosophy on how to live the good life was to be in the temple, to be there, to give the sacrifices, to hear the reading of God's word every Sabbath day, to set apart the priests, making sure that they could offer the sacrifices in the temple, and temple living is the way to the good life. Then you had some zealots. Some of the disciples were zealots and came from that ideology that, well, you have to overthrow Rome and Israel has to be great again to have the good life. And all these people who were going to see Jesus, maybe they had tried to live like the Pharisees. Maybe they had tried to live like the Sadducees. Maybe they had tried to be a zealot. They found that listening to those shepherds' voices didn't leave them in the place that these shepherds had promised. Maybe the pastures were green for a time, but in the end, it didn't bring the sustenance that their hearts desired. Today, many of us will watch the Super Bowl later. And I think many of us probably watch the Super Bowl, or at least we will this year because of the teams that are playing. We'll be watching the commercials a bit more closely than we will the game. And through these commercials, we're influenced, we're taught in a bit just like those social media influencers do, how to get the life we want. Dorito commercials, one of the bigger ones that people kind of watch out for every year. They're like the crazy extreme. If you eat Doritos, then you'll have this extreme life and you'll jump off a cliff and ride a mountain bike down a hill. And if you want to be that way, well, eat Doritos. I don't know if any of us want that. We might still like Doritos regardless of that. But that's kind of the way that they get you to buy Doritos, is you'll be seen as this extreme person if you buy this chip. But we know that that's not really how it works. You can buy the chips, you can eat the chips. That's not going to make you jump off a cliff or ride a dirt bike down a hill. But it's commercials. They're not just selling you that thing, but they're selling you a lifestyle or this image of what it is to be successful, or to be an American, you have to drink Budweiser beer, or whatever the commercial tells you to do. Shepherds' voices that we listen to, hoping that maybe we can achieve that life that we desire. May work out for a time. We may gain some nourishment from that. But just like eating that bag of Doritos, it may leave us with a sense of fullness for a little bit, but it's junk food like any other junk food and won't leave us whole for long. We'll be looking for a different meal soon enough. We're like sheep without a shepherd. But then there's Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, he is called the Good Shepherd. In this passage, I think we see what the Good Shepherd looks like. That even though he's tired, he's had people constantly gathering to him and wanting to hear him and wanting him to heal them and to cast out demons from them. Even though his disciples are longing for some rest from their ministry, and I'm sure Jesus' desire was to be with his disciples, to hear what they were able to do and to help grow them as disciples. But he sees these sheep who don't have a shepherd. The first thing he does is to have compassion on them. That word that's translated compassion in our English comes from a Greek word that says he was moved in his innermost being, that it was a visceral reaction that Jesus had, that he couldn't do anything else except to serve these people who needed a shepherd and had none. So we see the good shepherd does a few things for these people who are without a shepherd. At first, he gathers them together in this solitary place and he preaches, he teaches, he gives them the spiritual understanding that they're so desire, that all those other voices in their life that was saying, live this way and you'll have the good life, Jesus then teaches them what the good life is actually. That it's not live this way, you'll be successful, but it's that the kingdom of God has drawn near. And as the kingdom of God has drawn near, deliverance will take place. All the promises of the Messiah in the Old Testament are coming to fullness in Christ Jesus, and he will be your deliverer. It's in the Good Shepherd that you find the goodness, the peace, the desires of your innermost being. So the first thing the Good Shepherd does is to care for them spiritually, to teach them, to show them the way, what it means to live in right relationship with God, and what the good life entails. Then after that, just like a good shepherd would care for his flock, he feeds them. He knows that these people have made a long journey across the lake with him, and he desires to feed them. So he asks his disciples, hey, do we have any food around to feed this large group of people? It says 5,000 men at the end, but I'm sure there were some women and some children with them, so those numbers can grow exponentially. This large crowd that's gathered, he asks his 12 disciples, well, do we have any food to give these people? And I'm sure some of the number counters in the crowd, like Judas and Matthew, they were doing the math real quick in their head, and they're like, well, that's going to take more than 200 denarii, or as we read this morning, more than a half a year's wage, about 200 days worth of income, to feed all these people. Are you sure you want to pay that much to feed all these people? Or where are we even going to find the bread and the fish to feed all these people? We're out in this solitary place. Who knows how close the nearest village was to get bread and fish, and who knows if this village was even big enough to feed all these people. It's kind of ironic that he just sent the disciples out, giving them the power to heal, the power to cast out, that they've seen miracles done by their own hands, and yet in this moment they're worried about how he's going to feed all these people. Jesus just says, well, how much bread and what do we have? What food do we have? Just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe a meal. Maybe a meal for 2 people. A good meal for 1 person. So they bring it to him. He doesn't ask any other questions. He raises it up. He breaks it just as any Jewish father would do around the supper table. And he tells the disciples to go and start to hand it out to the people. And he divides the people up into these groups, it says. And there's a detail here that a lot of us probably glossed over as we read it, that the people are setting down in these groups on green grass, good pastures, that they've been grazing all around, looking at different ways to live the good life. And finally, here in Jesus, the good shepherd, the one who just fed them spiritually, is having them sit in green pastures to receive physical nourishment from him now. So Jesus, The good shepherd looks after these sheep who have no shepherd. They've now come into his flock to receive spiritual and physical nourishment from him. And this is also a foretaste of what Jesus is going to do to serve his flock as the good shepherd. And in John, those opening words of our service today says that I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. In another place in John, it says, I am the bread from heaven. As Jesus broke the bread and gave it to this crowd, again, he'll go to the cross, spread his arms out on it, and give up his life for his flock. That as he broke bread with his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As he passed the cup and said, this is my blood shed for you, the cup of the new covenant. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. So how can we apply this message today? What does it mean for us? Follow the Good Shepherd. As we have all these different competing voices in our life telling us this is what you should do to be successful, this is how you should live to have that life that you deeply desire, that as we're listening to all those different shepherds trying to lead us, that we should listen to the voice of the good shepherd alone. Back in that day, shepherds would all kind of graze together in the fields and kind of move around together. It was easier and safer for them to all kind of come together and to have their flocks gathered in one area. But at night, they would all go back home to their separate pens for the night. The way that they would sort out their sheep was to call them. And the sheep are smart enough to know the voice of their shepherd. Listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Know his voice. And listen to it alone. So how do we do that? We do that by reading scripture. We do that by familiarizing ourselves with what Jesus would say and do. And then when we hear that voice, we follow it. We respond to it. We say we don't listen to those other voices that are competing. We listen to the Good Shepherd alone. Why are we compelled to listen to the Good Shepherd's voice? Because he is the one who has shown himself to be the Good Shepherd by feeding us spiritually, by feeding us physically, by giving himself for his sheep. All those other voices have something that they're trying to get from you, whether that be attention or fame or whatever it is. But Christ, the Good Shepherd, laid all that down for us and for our salvation. He's the only shepherd that's going to give his life for you and has given his life for you. So listen to his voice. Graze from his green pastures. Know that we have a good shepherd who cares for all of who we are, who has our best for us. Listen to his voice. Follow him. He will lead you to green pastures, the grace that's found in him alone. Would you pray with me? Father God, we're thankful that you are the good shepherd, that you care for us, your sheep, that you are moved with compassion from your innermost being, that you were moved so much that you even went to the cross for your flock, that you are a shepherd who will lay down his life for us. And God, we pray that in response to this good grace that you've given to us, that we might listen to your voice, that we might know your voice as the good shepherd, to respond to it, to know that you are leading us to green pastures in the grace, in the presence of our Creator. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.